You are listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read a few verses from there in just a moment. If you were here last week, you know that we began a very short three-week series, which is primarily focused around our new missions focus here at LifePoint. And we're seeing God begin a move in us in this church to shift our focus to more of an outward-focused church. And he's begun a new heart for missions here at LifePoint. And the three words that we're focusing on last week, today, and next Sunday as we think about missions are the words pray, give, and go. And we talked last Sunday about that very key word, pray, and how important it is that that is the foundation, the launching pad for everything that we do as believers, for everything that we do as a church. It must be grounded in prayer. It's so important. And today we're going to talk about the word give. And if this is your first time in church today, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I've heard about this. I've heard that all churches ever talk about is money, and now I know it's true. I came to church for the first time today, and wouldn't you know, they're talking about money. So that rumor must be true. Well, I want to tell you a couple of things. First of all, we don't talk that much about money here, maybe once or twice a year, and we're way past due for talking about that. So today's the day. But I also want you to know that as we talk about giving this morning, please understand this. We are talking about money, but we're talking about a much broader topic than just money when we talk about giving. When we talk about giving in the Christian life, it involves so many other areas besides our finances. That's a huge part, and we're going to look at that. But it involves the giving of our time. It involves the giving of our talents and our giftings that God has given to us. It involves the giving of our service for the Lord and so many areas. So as we move through this today, keep that in mind, that there are so many different areas that sort of fall under this umbrella, this topic of giving. And I want to make that very clear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you have your Bibles and you have them open there, let's start reading in verse 6. Paul is writing to the churches in Corinth, and he's reminding them of a commitment that they had made to help those who were needy. And he says to them in verse 6, remember this. And I would say to LifePoint Church, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. Let me just throw this in. Whenever you hear verses 6 and 7 read, you almost never hear it followed up by verse 8. Everybody just read 6 and 7. You sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. You sow generously, you'll reap generously. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. I think the next verse is the key to the whole thing. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God doesn't just say, hey guys, I want you to be generous, joyful, cheerful givers. He goes right on to say, I'm going to give you everything you need to abound in every good work. It's almost like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry about this stuff. I'm going to take care of you. If you put me first, I will come along and take care of you. I'll back up my word. We don't talk much about giving here. We ought to talk about it more, probably. I know our financial guy says we should talk about it at least once a week. But you know, the interesting thing is the Bible talks a lot about giving. Jesus, in particular, talked more about money and possessions than he did about heaven and hell combined. Wonder why that is? I believe it is because God knows that this is an area for all of us. Guys, can we just kind of drop the masks today and be real with each other? I hope we do that every week here. This is an area for all of us where we struggle sometimes. I mean, you can mess with any area in a person's life you want to, but when you reach for their wallet, you see fangs come out. They suddenly produce a machete. I mean, you know, and we're all that way. And God knows that we're going to struggle in this area of our finances. And that's why the Bible talks about this so much, and it's such an important principle, because he knows that we're going to struggle, and he knows that there is going to be a battle going on in this area. Jesus said you can either serve God or you can serve money. He didn't say it's going to be really difficult to serve both. He said it's impossible to serve both. You can't do it. And so this, for us as followers of Jesus, money, giving in general, but money in particular, is an area. Guys, I'm telling you, it's an area where our true colors are going to be revealed for Jesus Christ. Money. It just is. Money's tight for most people. It's just a tough issue. And when Jesus comes after a portion of our money and says, guys, that belongs to God, not to you, there's this battle that begins inside of us, this battle for loyalty. And that's why Jesus said, if money is your first thing, then you're not serving God. Because you can't serve them both at the same time. God's not going to play second fiddle to anybody or anything. He's God. He has the right. A couple years ago, there was some folks who came through our church for a while, and the woman stopped me right there in that aisle after the service and said, who does God think he is that he gets to make up the rules? How would you have answered that question? I mean, and it's a fair question, I suppose. Nothing wrong with examining the real fundamentals of who God is and what gives him the right. And she said that, what gives him the right to make up the rules and tell me what to do? God is God. There's none before him. There will be no God after him. He is God. He deserves every molecule in our body. He deserves every moment of our devotion. He's God. I want to share some very simple things with you this morning. I'm going to try to move through this real quick. I have five things. There are a whole bunch of things we can talk about giving. Five simple things I want to share with you that giving will do for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Number one, giving loosens the grip of materialism. Everywhere you and I turn, we are bombarded constantly with messages that say to us, you need this. And if you don't have this product, then you're a loser because your neighbor's got it. And you need the latest and greatest this and the biggest and best of that. And what the world tells us through these messages is that true life comes with the more stuff that you have. True life can be experienced the more money that we have, the more things that we have. But Jesus said in Luke 12:15, in contrast to that, he said, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Here's the thing. God has promised to take care of our needs, but he has warned us sternly against hoarding in this life. There's a big difference. You remember when the children of Israel were traveling through the wilderness? God gave them manna. Remember that? Manna means what is it? They didn't know what it was. It was something to eat. And God gave them this miraculous gift, but he warned them very clearly. He said, take just enough for one day. Don't hoard. Take just enough for one day. And that ties so beautifully in with the principle that Jesus gave in the New Testament when he was teaching his disciples to pray. He said, you should pray, Lord, give us this what? Day. Our daily bread. Don't pray, God supply all my needs for this year. God, show me your plan for my life, for the rest of my life, and if you do that, I'll follow you. God says, not a chance. This day is all we have together. This is all that's promised today. Tomorrow will take care of itself today. God says he doesn't want us to be hoarders. Why is that? I mean, when God told the children of Israel, don't hoard this stuff, just take enough for one day, what was he doing? Was God just bored and he didn't have anything else to say? He's like, I think I'll tell him just to take enough for one day. No, there's a fundamental principle underneath that. It's a fundamental life principle. I will tell you, this is true in my life and it is true in your life if you will admit it. When I get comfortable, when I hoard things, I begin to get this sense that I'm set in life. I got plenty of money in the bank account. We got plenty of food to eat. We got two nice cars. We've got a nice vacation home. I mean, I'm not describing my life. I'm just saying, you know, that's, guys are thinking, man, this church is really rocking on, doing good. I'm pulling in the big bucks here, let me tell you. So, it's our finance guy. Can't take them anywhere. When I begin to hoard things in my life, you know what I do? And you do it too. I say, all right, God, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. I'll be in touch if I need anything. See, and we cruise down the road of life and God becomes a spare tire in the trunk. And if we have a blowout, we run and we get God and we say, God, I need you all of a sudden. God says, man, that's not the way this deal works. Your relationship with me is going to be based on day-to-day living. I want you to not be involved in the things of this world so much so that you become materialistic, that you begin to hoard things, because then I know you. I know that you're going to abandon me. You're not going to need me anymore. When we are giving people, when we give back to God's work, it loosens the grip of materialism. The antidote for materialism is to be generous towards God. Listen, guys, it's okay to have things as long as things don't have you. That's the key. God wants us to be conduits of his blessings, not cul-de-sacs. Does that make sense? His blessings need to flow through us. They don't need to be the end of the receiving line where we just hoard things for ourselves. It will loosen the grip of materialism. Number two, giving keeps my heart focused on God. I want to tell you something that seems like an exact opposite of the subject of giving as a church. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your money. You say, well, why does he ask me to give? God owns everything. It's all his. He doesn't need our money at all, not one penny of it. But the principle is God knows that he doesn't have you if he doesn't have your treasure. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Show me where a person's treasure is, I'll show you where the heart is. Every time. It's true with me. Where's our treasure? Are we storing it up in this life? Because if we are, Jesus said, that's where your heart is going to be, wherever your treasure is. Your heart always pursues your treasure. I've told you that before. It always pursues what you value most in life, whatever that is. If you look at my life, you won't see a whole lot of treasure in my life that's visible. But I have treasure scattered all over the world. The missionaries that I personally support, just on a personal basis, every time I help them out, every month, I'm sowing my treasure in different parts of the world. Because I don't want my treasure to be just in the stuff of my life. I want my treasure to be planted in God's work. My treasure's in South Africa, it's in Australia, it's in England, it's in Cambodia, it's in Haiti, it's in different parts of the world because I don't want to hoard my treasure. My treasure is scattered all over the world. And God says, Phil, where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be also. Giving to God keeps my heart focused upon him and upon his work. Number three, giving strengthens my faith. Our natural tendency in life is to put our faith in money. It just is. Because money is tangible. We can see it. We can hold it. We can count it. And so our natural tendency is to put our faith in this stuff that we can see. We know its value. We know what it'll buy. Except when it comes to putting gas in our car, nobody knows anymore what that'll buy. This is crazy. I mean, it's going to be $4 a gallon this summer. We're all going to be on mopeds probably before it's all over. But our natural tendency is to put our faith in money. But God's desire, one of the reasons he asks us to give to him, is so that he can shift our faith from the things of this world to him alone. He even said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he threw out this challenge to us. He said, "Test me in this. Bring the whole tithe to me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you will not be able to contain it." That's his promise to us. He challenges us. Test me in this. How many times does God say, "Test me"? There's one right there. Put him to the test. God says, I need to build your faith. I need your faith to be in me, not in the things of this world. And so test me in this and see if I will not do exactly what I've promised to do in your life. But we struggle with that. We say, "God, I tell you what, if you give me more money, then I will start giving to you." God says, "No, you first. You first." And we say, "Yeah, but God, you know, you don't understand where I am in life. You don't understand my situation. If you will just give me more, then I promise I'll start being faithful to you and giving to you what you've asked me to do." God says, "No, no. If you can't be faithful where you are, you won't be faithful where you ain't. You got to be faithful now, and then we'll move on this journey together." I'm telling you guys, giving to God, being obedient to him in this area of life, will strengthen your faith more than you can imagine. It really will. Because God will provide for you. He will be true to his word. I remember when we were starting LifePoint. We hadn't even had our first service yet. This was in the early planning stages. I drove home from one of our Thursday night meetings. I don't even think we had a name picked out for the church yet. We may have. I can't remember the exact timing of that, but it was really early on. I drove home from one of those meetings late that night, and on the way home, God began to say to me, "Hey, big boy, I want you to put your money where your mouth is. And I want you and your family to take a step of faith and be the first ones to give financially to this church that doesn't even exist yet, so that you can show that you really trust me in this and that your heart is really in this work." I went home and I got to thinking about that, and I thought about it that night. And our family at that time was at a very, very difficult stage of our life financially. Very tough. I got up the next morning and I talked to Sandy about it. And she said, "Man, I think it's a great idea. I think we should do it." I'm like, "Doggone it. Why, you know, where are you when I need you, you know?" No, I didn't say that. I was excited about it. I even went and talked to Caroline and Nick about it. And both of them went and got their piggy banks, and they emptied their piggy banks. They didn't have much in it, but they emptied their piggy banks, and they said, "Dad, we want to be a part of this. We want to give." And I looked at my checkbook, and I had something like $208 in my checkbook, and God said, "I want you to give $200. And I was like, "Do what now?" "I want you to give $200 to help start this church." And we did. That's what our family did. I'm not telling you this to point to me. I'm telling you this to encourage you that if God can do this in my life, he can do it in your life. And we gave that money, and we just kind of took it and said, "Here, we just want to give this to help start this church off by faith in the right direction." And God took that little gift, and he used it to spark faith in other people, and God has blessed this church ever since. Our first day as a church, the first meeting that we had down in the old end of Building 8, we said nothing about an offering, but people came and they gave their money. They put it on the back table. And we took that money and put it together. And during the week, one morning, I was shaving. And God said, "I want you to take that offering and I want you to give every penny of it away." I was like, "You know, this whole journey so far is really not panning out like I was thinking." I mean, And so I got the guys together. I said, let me tell you what God told me to do. He said, we've got to take this offering, whatever came in on Sunday, and we've got to give every penny of it away. It's like, we really need this money. I mean, the landlord here is a nice guy, but he wants his check every month on time. But I said, guys, God's telling us to do this. And they all went, woohoo, let's do it. They were excited about it. They couldn't wait. And this church gave away our first offering. And God took that step of faith to build more faith into us. And he has provided our needs. Look around you. If you haven't in a while, take a walk through the back hallways. Go look at the children's areas. See what God has provided. I mean, this is uncommon for a small new church to have a place like this to come to anytime we want to. To not have to set up in a hotel meeting room every week to bring in sound equipment and then tear it down. God has blessed us. Why? Because we've never been a church who wants to hoard money. And God is using this to build our faith. And I'm telling you, he will do it in your life too. If you will be faithful to God in this area of giving yourself to him, he will strengthen your faith. Number four, giving blesses me in return. Now, this sounds like a very selfish statement to make, but it is absolutely scriptural. Giving blesses me in return. I'm not talking about some kind of prosperity gospel where we say, hey, you sow a $1,000 seed into my ministry and God will give you $10,000 back. I'm going to tell you, that irks me at such a deep level I can barely even define it. Because what they're doing is they're taking this act of worship, of giving to God, where we're supposed to say, you know, the songs we sang about this morning, God, you are great, you deserve everything. Here is my gift to you. And they're turning that into greed. I mean, it's a horrible thing. And they're taking this principle in the Bible and they're stretching it to a point it was never intended to go. The truth is, God does say that he will bless us if we trust him with our finances, if we give to him. He will bless us. His blessings can come in 1,000 different ways. Sometimes his non-financial blessings back to us are the greatest blessings in our lives. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Paul said in Acts 20:35, he said, remember the Lord, the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When you and I were little kids and Christmas came around, the most awesome thing in the world was to receive, wasn't it? I mean, just tearing the paper off those packages and getting that new package of tube socks I told you about that one time. It was so exciting for me as a kid in Africa. Had tube socks, and that was great. But for us as kids, you know, receiving was the greatest joy in the world. But what happens, guys, as we get older? That just sort of turns around, and we begin to see the words of Jesus. We begin to understand what he was talking about when he said, guys, you're going to be happier if you give than if you receive. My greatest joy now is seeing the look on my kids' faces when I can give a little something to them. And they go, Daddy, what do you want for Christmas? I go, I don't want a thing. There's not a thing I need. And they go, no, but you have to want something. No, I don't. I just want to give, you know? And that's what Jesus is saying. And surely, if that's true in our physical lives as we get older, then church, it must be true in our spiritual lives. The more we walk with Christ, the more we understand the sacrifice that was given for us. Surely, we would want to become more givers than receivers. Surely we would. God blesses us in return when we give to him. You're like me. You've probably given your time and your money to some things along the way that later you look back and go, man, I wish I hadn't done that, right? You've been there, right? Investments or whatever. I remember a commodity I invested in early on when I started my business. And man, it was a sure thing. It was a sure thing, and I lost it all. It was gone. Thousands of dollars just sprouted wings and flew off to the sky like an eagle, like Proverbs says. Bye-bye. It was gone. And my accountant laughed and said, well, just frame it and put it on your wall and, you know, keep it as a reminder not to be greedy next time, you see. But there are things in this life that I've invested in that I regretted investing in. But listen, guys, I have never one time in my life ever given to the work of God and regretted doing so. Why? Because when I invest my money, my time, my service into the work of the kingdom of God, He blesses me in return. I'm filled with joy. I just have a happiness and a peace about me. I mean, it is a cool thing to be able to give. Generous people are happy people. Generous churches are happy churches. They are. They have God's joy and His blessing inside of them. Finally, number five, giving is an investment for eternity. This to me is just the greatest thing of all. I mean, all those other things, you know, strengthening my faith, that's important. Being blessed, that's important. You know, not being tied to materialism and all those things are very important. But for me, this is the one that I get the most excited about when I think about giving to the Lord. Giving is an investment for eternity. The best investment that you can ever make in this lifetime, no matter how good it is, no matter how strong the returns are, will only benefit you in this lifetime, no matter how good the investment is. Maybe you were one of those who heard about this little company called Microsoft years ago, and you invested a bunch in Microsoft. I know a guy who did that. Sold just about everything he had in college and invested in Microsoft. Hate that guy. Just how did he know that? How did he know that? You know, not to put it in Enron. I don't know how, you know, but he did. And, you know, but here's the thing. As good an investment as that was, it's only going to last Peter until the end of his life. You see, when the undertaker comes, that investment will benefit him no longer. Nothing wrong with investing in things in this life if we keep the balance right. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to remember that the best day on the stock market, the best investment we could make in anything in this life is going to come to an end. There's only one investment you and I can make, guys, that is going to outlive us in this life, that's going to last forever. Jesus said, in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. What's Jesus saying? He's saying whatever investment you make in this world is guaranteed to come to an end. It's guaranteed. They might as well stamp it right on the certificate. Guaranteed to end. And a lot of them come to an end long before our life comes to an end. Some of those investments that, you know, in our day, they may not be moth-eaten, but boy, they sure do rot and just sort of fall right through our fingers. Some of those investments do. The only investment that you and I can make that will last for eternity are the investments that we make in the kingdom of God. There is one statement that Jesus made. You know, Jesus told a lot of stories, a lot of parables. There's one that he said that is, it's just, my favorite of all the little parables that he told. And I've never heard a sermon preached on this verse. I've heard people refer to it, but I've never heard a whole sermon on this verse. And I want to someday. In Matthew 13, 44, Jesus told this incredible parable that is so powerful to me. I want to share it with you. Just listen to this. Listen to what he said. And I want you to get your mind around this. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Guys, I'm telling you, that verse rocked my world a few years ago when I finally understood what that was talking about. Jesus is saying there was this guy who was out walking through this field, looking around. Nobody else was out there, and he was probably thinking, hey, this would be a nice field to buy, but man, I just don't know if I want to sink my money into this. And then somewhere on the backside of that field over the hill, he's looking around, he sees something unusual, he goes and he starts looking and clearing the brush away and digging a little bit, and he discovers this priceless treasure hidden in the field. And he covers it back up, and he runs in his joy, and he takes all of his worldly possessions and he sells them. And he takes that money and he buys that field. Listen, guys, do you and I realize that we have that same kind of treasure in the kingdom of God? We have that same treasure in Jesus Christ. We found the greatest treasure in the world. Is anybody awake today? We found the greatest treasure in the world, in Jesus. And the principle of this parable is saying simply to us, you can look at all these things in this world and you can put a value on them and you can think they're worth investing in, but once you find the treasure of the kingdom of God, everything else in your life is worth getting rid of and investing into the kingdom of God. I mean, that's incredible stuff. That ought to shake our foundations. We found treasure, the greatest treasure in Jesus. What are we doing with it? Are we still fiddling around investing our treasure in the things of this world when we can trade it all and say, God, I'm investing it all in your kingdom? Man, it's exciting stuff. And as we begin to pray about missions as a church, you and I have an incredible opportunity to invest ourselves and our treasure into the kingdom of God in spreading his message around the world. What a great opportunity this is for a small church to do. It's an awesome opportunity. In the early 1800s, the King of Prussia, Frederick William III, was faced with a very, very difficult dilemma. His country was in the middle of a serious war for their freedom, but he was quickly running out of money to support the war. And he knew that his country was going to be defeated if he could not come up with the funds necessary to purchase what was needed to win this war. He thought about this and wrestled with it, and finally he came up with a brilliant plan. He sent out word to all of the women of Prussia, and he asked them if they would be willing to bring all of their gold jewelry in order to be turned into money to buy what was needed to win the war. And in exchange, he would give them a small iron medallion. They had plenty of iron there. It was practically worthless at that point. But he said, in exchange for your gold, we will give you a small iron medallion engraved with these words, I gave gold for iron. The response was overwhelming. Women brought gold jewelry. They brought gold trinkets from their homes. They brought it by the truckloads. And it enabled that country to stand firm and to fight for their freedom and to win the war. And they say that the women treasured those little iron medallions far more than the gold that they had given. Why? Because they knew that they had had a chance to be a part of something much bigger than themselves. Guys, I'm here to tell you this morning, you and I have that same opportunity before us. We have the opportunity to be a part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And with such a great opportunity before us as believers in Christ, I don't mean just this church, I mean Christians in general, knowing the treasure that we have in the kingdom of God, knowing the opportunity that we have as believers to invest our treasure and to impact the world for Christ, why is it that in this country, the average giving in American churches is less than 3%? Why is that? God has come to us and says, guys, I'm giving you the opportunity to be a part of my kingdom work. I want you to give me the first portion of your income. It's a tithe. It means a tenth. That's all it means. God says, you know, I could have asked for 50%. But I'm doing this just to teach you to trust me and to teach you that I will supply your needs. And yet the churches in America, the average giving is less than 3%. The kingdom of God is at stake. So I want to ask you guys this morning as we close, is LifePoint going to be a 3% church? Because if we are, God says, that's fine. You can be a 3% church, but you need to understand you're going to have a 3% impact for my kingdom. See, Jesus said in Luke 6:38, with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. You say, hey God, here's a thimble full for you. I hope you can use it. God says, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And here's a thimble full for you. Or we could say, God, here's one of those massive dump trucks, you know, with the 13-foot tall tires. Have you seen those things, those huge earth movers? We can say, God, here's one of those dump trucks full of our gifts to you, of our investment in your kingdom. God says, man, I got a dump truck for you. You wouldn't believe. My blessings are coming. You guys are going to have an impact on the world that is huge in scope. The choice is up to us. But can you imagine the impact that the Church of Jesus could have on this world if all those who claim the name of Christ would simply give 10% of their income? Larry Burkett did a study on that many years ago, and he said it would bring in something like $150 billion extra dollars a year into the kingdom of God if Christians just did just the basics of what God has asked us to do. And you may be sitting here saying, Phil, you know what? You don't know my situation. It's easy for you to stand up there and ask us to do that, but you don't know how things are. I want to tell you something. I do know. I've been there. Our family spent a lot of years barely making it by. And it was in those times that we had the greatest opportunities to say, you know what? Character is not proven when times are easy. Character's proven when times are tough. Am I going to be true to God and trust Him? Or am I just simply not going to trust Him at all? Have you ever noticed how big $100 looks when you bring it to church? And how small it looks when you take it to the mall? Why is that? Priorities, that's what it is. Nothing wrong with spending money at the mall. Please don't misunderstand this message. Nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, if any of you would like to go to the mall to buy me something, that's fine with me. I'm okay with that. But we need to shift our thinking. We truly need God to do a work in us. You say, Phil, I can't give much. Well, here's the great thing. God doesn't ask you to give a certain amount. He just says, give me the first portion. Just 10 simple percent is all I ask for. You see, because it's not the amount of the gift, it's the amount of the sacrifice. Sometimes in your life, 10% is a huge commitment. I mean, it's huge. You remember Jesus was at the treasury at the temple, and these rich guys were coming and dropping their money in the collection box, bags of money, making a big noise. And then this little widow, the Bible says a poor widow came and she dropped in 2 tiny coins, 2 pennies for us today. We don't even pick up 2 pennies. I do, but most people don't. And Jesus called the disciples, every guy, come here, check this out. That poor widow gave more than all those rich guys. And the disciples are going, no, she didn't. He goes, yeah, she did. Because they gave out of their abundance. But she gave all she had to God. God has put before us an incredible opportunity, church, to impact the world for the kingdom of God. I told you last week, I encourage you to come today. I told you what we were going to be talking about, and I appreciate you coming. I told you, you know, we're not going to ask you for money. We're not going to take up a big collection, and we're not. But God's been speaking to me throughout this week and saying, Phil, don't you dare get up and bring that message and then rob my people of a chance to step out by faith and put that message into action. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to throw this out. I'm going to leave it between you and God. As you know, we don't take up an offering here. We don't pass the plate. I think it puts people on the spot. We have a little box on that back table right over there, and we leave it up to you. Next Sunday, May 4th, is the first Sunday of a new month. And we are going to begin a missions fund because we're serious about this and we're moving forward with it. And I'm telling you, God is going to open doors for us and we are going to be blown away at what He is going to do. 2 things. First of all, if you're here today and maybe you've been coming here for a month, maybe you've been coming here for a year, and you've never been involved in this issue of trusting God with your finances. And you've just never taken that step to give financially to God's work. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you on the first Sunday of a new month next week to begin. Just begin. Say, God, I want to be a part of your work. I want to be a part of what you're doing in this world. Just begin and see if God will not be faithful to his word to provide for your needs. Second thing is, maybe you have been giving, but maybe God will prompt your heart this week to say, you know what, I want you and your family to make an investment into LifePoint Missions to help jumpstart this thing into the future. And I firmly believe that if we take that step and, so to speak, put our money where our mouth is, I think God is going to come in behind us and he is going to bless our socks off in this area of missions. If God prompts you this week and you want to give something extra towards missions, you just simply mark it missions, you drop it in the box, and we'll leave it between you and God. I want to challenge you guys, don't miss out on one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life, of trusting God with your treasures. I'm telling you, one day when we get to heaven and we see what we've invested for God, we are going to be amazed when we look up and see the people that God has touched through our faithfulness. Watch this.
I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made. noticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. That was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.